And with us now is Kathy Wild, a member of the Fiscal Leadership Council for the Fix the Debt campaign and CEO of the Partnership for New York City, which represents banks, real estate developers, and other major corporations in the city. She is warning about the impact of the so-called fiscal cliff on the city if Congress fails to avoid it by the end of the year, along with the president. Hi, Kathy. Thanks for coming on. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Good to be with you.
We've spoken many times in your role with the partnership. Can you tell us about the Fix the Debt campaign and your role on that?
Well, the Fix the Debt campaign is an effort to have the public put real pressure on Washington to finally deal with the $11 trillion national debt. And the failure to do that, which unfortunately we've seen over the last couple of years, there have been efforts on the part of Congress and the administration to resolve how we're going to tackle our debt problems. It simply hasn't happened. And this, we have January 1, we see an act of Congress which will result in a dramatic tax increase for everyone, a dramatic cut in spending, the kind of thing that experts tell us will throw us into another global recession as of January 1 if we don't do something about it. So the campaign is an effort to educate the public. Washington has not been able to fix the debt. The U.S. public has got to get involved. Citizen action is required. The business community has to be involved. We have to work together on a bipartisan basis to pressure Washington. That's what Fix the Debt campaign is about.
I saw you quoted in the New York Post talking about the number 600,000 jobs lost in New York City if Washington goes over the cliff. Whose number is that? Do you think it's an exaggeration and it's not going to happen on January 2nd, right?
Not immediately, but I think it'll happen relatively quickly. Douglas Holtz Eakin, who is a former head of the Congressional Budget Office, a respected economist, came up with the number of 614,000 jobs out of our 3.8 million job base that New York City could stand to lose 15% of our jobs if, in fact, the country goes over the fiscal cliff. And that is because New York City is uniquely vulnerable. On the one hand, we pay the highest taxes, and so we will be hit with huge tax increases. On the other hand, we also, as the largest city in America, receive the most federal aid in a whole bunch of areas, whether it's transportation or Medicare and Medicaid. Across the board, we get a lot of federal money. And so that combination of being hit by the tax increase and simultaneously the hit by the reduction in federal spending comes down particularly hard on New York City.
Critics of the whole fiscal cliff concept say it's a little bit of hysteria and it's more like a ramp. So neither side should feel they have a gun to their heads to make it a bad deal. For example, the income tax hikes that would take effect are for the 2013 tax year. So if Congress makes a deal any time during the year before tax filing the following April, no one will actually pay those rates. Is that a good point?
I think they're underestimating the extent to which the global economy depends on America to be able to solve its problems and provide leadership. And the extent to which business investment depends on having some faith that this country is going to be able to resolve its policies in a positive way for future economic growth. All experts in the economy agree that we face a potential global double-dip recession if the country fails, certainly, you know, not necessarily December 31st, but within a short period of time to find a framework, a solution for this debt crisis. And the first step will be demonstrating that Republicans and Democrats in Washington can agree on a balanced plan that, yes, raises revenues through a combination of efforts to increase taxes, and on the other hand, that also shows that we're going to get our big spending areas, particularly Medicare, under control. Our growth in healthcare spending and the fact that we are not showing discipline to solve the problem. We're spending $3 billion a day in this country just on our debt, and that cannot continue.
Catherine Wylde from the Fix the Debt campaign in this appearance on the show. Is this officially Simpson-Bowles related? I saw Erskine Bowles and Alan Simpson, of course, the Democratic and Republican chairs of the president's bipartisan debt commission, on CNBC the other day, talking up the Fix the Debt campaign, and it's this petition that people can sign at fixthedebt.org. But is this a formal relationship that you have that's growing out of the Simpson-Bowles work?
Yes, Simpson and Bowles are co-chairs of the Leadership Council of the Fix the Debt campaign, along with a number of other leaders representing both sides of the aisle. It grows out of the work that Senator Domenici and Alice Rivlin co-chaired, out of the so-called Gang of Eight, other congressional efforts. This is a long-standing effort, and of course, no one has been more front and center in this effort over the last really two decades than Pete Peterson, who's a New Yorker founder of the Blackstone Group, who has been pointing out that the aging of our population, the growth in health care and retirement costs had to be faced and dealt with. We have put off reform because it's not in anybody's political interest to act like cutting something back, taking something away from people. But in fact, we have to raise taxes on the one hand, and the New York business community has been right out front in saying we are willing to pay more as long as there's a large solution, a big package, and Fix the Debt is calling for a $4 trillion solution. Again, that probably won't be resolved by December 31st, but if we can see that they're on the road to resolution so that certainly no later than the middle of 2013, they have the tax and spend plan in place for long term. Falling off a cliff is not good for anyone. It will throw us into another global recession. It could cost the city knock us back up to an 11% unemployment rate. That is not a solution. Particularly in these days after the storm, and we recognize so much our dependence on federal investment in upgrading our infrastructure, I'm confident we'll get the storm recovery funds, the aid for what we lost. But the question is, how will we finance the improvements that need to be made in our subway, our airports, our whole infrastructure system going forward? That's going to depend on a federal government that has a solid fiscal plan for how they're going to deal with their debt. They're going to deal with these entitlements that we can't afford. They're going to take painful steps to raise taxes. And that's another area where New York is, of course, very concerned about, because the threat that we might lose capping deductibility is a particular threat to New York, whether it's to our charities that might be lose revenues as a result, or to the state and local income tax deductibility, which would put our local income taxes for high earners over 60% and certainly cause a significant problem in New York. So,
but let me jump in on that. I'm not sure I understand, because the Fix the Debt campaign website seems to embrace the idea of increasing federal government revenues by eliminating loopholes rather than raising rates. And are you saying
eliminating corporate loopholes is one thing, capping deductions for individuals is something else?
So you're opposed to the capping deductions idea?
Well, certainly as a New Yorker, it would be very difficult to support capping deductions.
How do you get there? How do you get to $4 trillion if you're not going to cap deductions, don't want to raise rates, and want to keep enough spending to grow the infrastructure like you were talking about a minute ago? Where does the $4 trillion come from?
Well, a piece of it is from income tax hikes on high earners, which we recognize. The president's plan also includes increases on capital gains taxes and dividends. That makes New Yorkers a little nervous because we have a disproportionate share of our revenues come out of it. We have a disproportionate number of folks who are receiving their incomes through capital gains and dividends. So that's an issue for us. But when you compare that to state and local deductibility, which for a state like New York, where we're, for example, competing with Texas or Florida that don't have income taxes that would be affected here, it would just create such a disproportionate tax burden.
In other words, because we have a relatively high state and local income tax rate in New York and local and state taxes are federally tax deductible, that income tax deduction cap disproportionately hurts New Yorkers. So are you saying explicitly that it's in New York's interest to raise revenue for the federal government through an expiration of the Bush tax rates and just let the rates go higher rather than through these other means?
I think it's a combination of higher rates, certainly on the high earners, but also looking at the overall tax code. Somebody I trust showed me numbers the other day that, in fact, while we have a 35% corporate tax rate, one of the highest in the world, the actual payment on corporate taxes is more around a 6-7% rate, and that's partly because our policies have failed to provide a way that international companies can repatriate taxable income here. It's partly because we've got big agriculture and oil and other incentive loopholes in the tax code. We need a major comprehensive look at our tax code. That's one of the reasons why this problem cannot be solved by December 31st, but there's got to be a commitment to solve it, to reform our tax code. If we can do that, certainly we can look forward to being able over the next 6 months to figure out a much simpler, fairer, more equitable way of taxing business in this country.
Before you go, Paul Krugman has been writing about the contradiction he sees in deficit hawks who warn constantly that the deficit is too high, but then when this drastic deficit reduction measure, the fiscal cliff, would kick in, they scream that the sky would be falling. So what's really the difference between the fiscal cliff and Simpson-Bowles, which is what you want, or some version of it, because they each take us down this path toward trillions of dollars of debt reduction?
Well, one is a carefully planned, long-term reprogramming, particularly as we look at health care and retirement. It's looking at those long-term entitlement programs and see what we have to do in terms of the age at which one becomes eligible, the contribution one makes, and look at that picture in terms of what's realistic for an America that is an aging population where there are much fewer workers to support the retired population. And it's just a completely much more constructive look. It's not a deficit hawk position in a conventional sense. It's how do we plan constructively for the changing demographics in America, for America's future in the most positive way. We want to stay the economic leader of the world.
What do you say to some liberals who argue the fiscal cliff budget might be better than Simpson-Bowles because the cliff budget drastically cuts the military while leaving anti-poverty programs and senior entitlements more intact, just the opposite of how the Republicans want to cut spending? What's your view of that comparison?
Well, I don't think anything's safe in the fiscal cliff scenario because while the immediate budget may be a drastic military cut, you know how long it takes to have a additional military crisis that sends us in another direction. So I don't think anything's safe. And the fiscal cliff will, by all estimation, result in another recession. And I don't think the American public wants to go for that. I think we want to go for discipline and long-term growth, the same things we've been advising Greece and Europe to do. I think we have to take that medicine here at home.
All right. Catherine Wild, a member of the Fiscal Leadership Council for the Simpson-Bowles-related Fix the Debt campaign and CEO of the Partnership for New York City, which represents major corporations here in the city. Thank you very much for joining us on the Fiscal Cliff.
Thank you, Brian. Let's hope we don't go over it.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Clinton and Obama go to Asia. Were they there to intimidate China? Stay with us.